I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's always good to be here with you.
Each month, our podcast explores some aspect of investing in commercial property. However, I don't remember ever asking you how much experience our listeners actually need to have.
You know, when some people start out investing in commercial property, they seem to have the notion that in order to be successful, you really need to be a real estate agent, an accountant, and lawyers all rolled into one. And that's probably because at that early stage, those investors may not have an in-depth understanding of the office, retail, and industrial property markets. However, if you're able to read documents and do some basic maths, you should have no problem in evaluating commercial property deals, particularly when you already have my high return filter and the final judgment software at your fingertips. So, starting from scratch, you'll find that these tools will stand you in good stead and actually put you streets ahead of many professional investors when it comes to quickly and easily analysing specific properties.
So perhaps you could start with some of the terminology commonly used when considering commercial property.
Yeah, well, that is a good idea. Let's talk about that terminology. You hear things like capitalisation rate. Now, this is simply your net rental from the property divided by the selling price. And it's also affectionately known as the cap rate or the passing yield. Now, ignoring any borrowings or tax implications, the cap rate tells you what sort of yield you are receiving from your property each year. Then the next term we might look at is cash flow. That's the annual cash flow, which is your net income from the property, as opposed to net rental, which is available to you to service debt. And that leads us on to debt servicing, and that's the annual interest cost associated with your mortgage. Now, for investment properties, I would counsel you to have an interest-only mortgage. Now, I know residentially that's they're clamping down on that, but for commercial property, that is the best way to go and not have repayments of principal, because the repayments of principal are not tax deductible, whereas the interest is. Then we look at the gross income, which is the total income from the property, including rents, car parking, license fees, naming rights, and so on. And that leads to the net income, which we mentioned before, which you calculate by taking your gross income and subtracting any building operating expenses and current vacancies. Now, we talked about operating expenses, and these relate to the costs that are not recouped from the tenants, and they would include things like rates and taxes, insurance, any utilities relating to the public area, maintenance, or the general repairs. Now, these expenses will usually be recovered from the commercial tenants, and you do not take them into account as far as debt servicing is concerned. Then you need to understand the net lettable area. That's the usable space available to the tenants to lease within the property, ignoring the common or public areas. Then there's the vacancy rate, and you calculate that by dividing the area of the vacant tenancies by the total net lettable area for the building. So I think that probably covers the main terminology, and they're sort of things that if you need more explanation, I'm sure you can search on Google and there'll be a much more technical explanation as to what's involved. But as a layman's term, that should cover it.
Where do you begin in order to determine what a property is worth?
Okay. Now, in the training material you have received and I've made available to everyone, you've come across, as I mentioned, the high return filter and the final judgment software. Now, with these tools, it doesn't really matter what size or how complex the property may seem. You can quickly establish whether or not you should be pursuing it as an opportunity. Now, basically, your analysis will fall into three key areas. That's the income from the property, the expenses that are not met by the tenant, and then the debt servicing component. Now, in all, there are about 18 different components, and that's identified by the and analysed by the final judgment software. And what we're really doing is expanding on these areas. Now, you've got an initial fact-finding exercise, and the question is, where do you gather the necessary information? Now, the selling agents will generally provide you with most of the details within what's called an information memorandum for each property. Now, you can use that information initially with the high return filter app to decide whether or not each property should make it onto your shortlist. And if so, the information memorandum should also provide you with enough information to make your final judgment calculations as well. Now, when it comes to rental figures, you need to be wary of agents trying to pump up the rental figures by providing what they term as the potentially fully leased tenancy schedule, because they inevitably seek to present you with the best case scenario. Therefore, always deal in reality, not potential, when you're trying to establish the annual rental for a property. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't take into account an estimate of rental for a vacant area, but equally, you should allow a letting up period and the costs of finding the tenant as well.
What about establishing the actual price level itself?
Well, as far as price level is concerned, you need to come at that from a couple of angles in making your comparison with other properties. And that would involve the yield, in other words, the cap rate or the passing net income, and the price per square metre, which is the price divided by the net lettable area. Now, sometimes you'll find that the yield compares favourably with other recent sales, but the price per square metre is clearly above market. And so you might ask, well, how does that come about? Well, this will occur when vendors have offered the tenants a substantial incentive at the beginning of their lease in return for them agreeing to pay an above market rental. So your property, or the figure that you can do a deal on your property, might be the yield at 7.5% per annum. And the sales evidence suggests that 7.6 or around the 7.5 mark is right. So that's within the ballpark. However, when you calculate the price per square metre, your property comes in at $5,200 per square metre, whereas the sales evidence is at $4,730 a square metre. And therefore, while a passing yield may look okay, a valuer will automatically discount your purchase price to reflect the actual market value of the property based on what the true rent should be struck at. So you need to be aware of those sort of anomalies.
From what I understand, commercial tenants usually pay the outgoings on top of their rental. Does that mean that you don't need to devote much attention to the actual level of outgoings?
Well, yeah, what we're talking about are the operating expenses for the property. And again, you need to perform cross-checks to ensure that the expenses reflect an appropriate level for the age, the type and the size of the property involved. Now, even though the tenants may in fact be paying the outgoings under the lease, it's really important that you ensure that the outgoings are kept to a realistic minimum. And the reason for that is that when it comes round to rent review time, your tenants will look at the total occupancy costs. That's the rent plus the outgoings when they make their comparison of your property against other properties before deciding whether or not to exercise the option to extend their lease with you. Now, in the case of a rental dispute at a market review, and that's where you call in an independent valuer to determine the rent, he or she will likewise take account of the property's outgoings in arriving at an independent assessment as to what the net rent should be. And therefore, you need to calculate your outgoings using both a rate per square metre and, as a double check against that, a percentage of the net rental. Now, what you do is you make those comparisons for an appropriate building relative to yours as to size, age and so forth. So, just to give you a guide, a typical suburban office where you have a rental of, say, $300 a square metre, your outgoings should be between $60 to $90 a square metre. And as a percentage of rent, they should be somewhere around 20 to 30% of the rent. So with a building in the CBD where your rent might be, say, $500 a square metre, because there are more components in the building like lifts, security systems are more expensive and so forth, your outgoings will be somewhere between $150 to $200 a square metre and therefore will be somewhere between 30 to 40% of the rate per square metre of the rent. So if you find that the rate per square metre is okay, but however the percentage of your net rental comes in too high, you immediately realise that the current rental is too low and vice versa. Now, let me just repeat that again. If your rate per square metre for outgoings is okay, but the percentage, when I say rate, that's the per square metre dollar amount, but the percentage relative to your rent happens to be too high, then you know your rental is too low. If you find your percentage is too low, then you know that the rental has been pumped up, the net rental, and there must be some incentive involved. So you've got to make those cross-checks to in market variations, and then you have to make an adjustment to bring it back to market rent, as a valuer would do. And when you go to input the information into the final judgment analysis. And while we're talking about expenses, you've got to make sure you don't forget things about rates and taxes. Now, you've got to remember that by law, a retail tenant cannot be asked to pay land tax. So this is something you need to take into account when arriving at your true net income if you're looking to purchase a retail property. And the other thing also is to keep in mind that every so often, I think it's every 4 years, may vary in from state to state, the council revalues the property and therefore it sets the base figure for your council rates, your water rates and your land tax. So you have the right to challenge that as the landlord within 60 days of the assessment being made. Now again, some people say, well, what's the matter of tenants paying them? Well, just as I explained, if the outgoings are artificially high, that means come rent review time, you will see the effect of that in the rental being reduced accordingly to take account of that.
Once again, I think your explanation today has been most valuable and no doubt given our listeners some added confidence with commercial property.
Well, hopefully I've been able to provide some helpful insight into the various aspects you need to take into account when you're undertaking your initial investigations. You simply need to identify the issues involved and also be prepared to ask for help from your team of consultants along the way.
Thanks, Chris. That was great.